Hi, everyone. Welcome to Digital Worship. I'm Pastor John Carolus, one of the associate pastors here at Shepherd. And as we begin this month of October together, we're going to be spending 5 weeks in this series, Echoes of Faith, looking at how hymns, which is a tradition of faith within the church for hundreds and hundreds of years, find a way to be a great and beautiful expression of the wonderful promises we have in God's Word. So we'll be spending some time in different areas of the Bible. A few weeks we'll be in the Psalms. Sometimes we'll be in the Epistles or the Gospels. And each time we dig into those just beautiful, beautiful words, we're also going to be using these hymns that call back to them, reference them as a way for us to illustrate and see how others expressed those promises, reminded themselves of those promises, gave praise to God because of those promises in that particular way. So as we begin today, we're going to be digging into Psalm 25 and hearing the promises of God and also how the psalmist, David, the writer of the psalm, used these promises as a way to guide his daily living. And that's really the focus of this message. Most of us wake up in the morning, just want to find a way to make it through the day. Whether it's the season of life that you're in where it seems like you don't have a chance to catch your breath, or maybe you're just tired out from years and years of a difficult career or challenging life circumstances or broken down relationships, many of us face challenges and struggles that make it difficult for us to see the end of the day as anything but an exhausting finish line. But God's desire for us is not to be exhausted, tired, and sick of living by the end of each day. No, He actually wants to sustain us in our life so that we can live in joy and embrace the gifts that He gives us in our days. Rather than seeing each one as a struggle, instead, we can remind ourselves of His presence in the midst of all of our moments, the good ones and the bad, and know that He is with us and has a purpose for our lives that will ultimately be used to share His love with the people around us. So let's take a look at Psalm 25 and see how David, the writer of the psalm, used these promises in his own navigation of days. And then we'll take a look at a hymn from the Lutheran service book, our collection of hymns here in the Lutheran Church, and take a listen at how those promises were packaged in a way that were easier for people to grasp and remind themselves of. From Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10 in the English Standard Version. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. No, they shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. This is a pretty beautiful psalm, and there's a couple of themes I want to mention and kind of draw your attention to. On the one hand, as we begin looking at these verses together, David is crying out to God that he would be relieved, that he would be protected, that he wouldn't be put to shame. In other words, David is feeling some kind of stress and press on his life. There's a number of challenges and stresses that David faced throughout the course of his life. And if you want to explore some of those, you can take a look at 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. You can look up the story of his life, the fact that he had a terrible relationship with his father-in-law, who oftentimes was actually trying to kill him. He was constantly under threat of enemy attack. He got into some really messed up relationships and totally ruined marriages and had just really questionable motives in a number of actions that he took. He faced sickness. He faced, kind of rebellious sons. And so this was somebody who had his fair share, maybe more than his fair share, of challenges to make it through each day. And so like him, many of us have challenges in life that threaten to distract us and pull us away from understanding the joy that is ours through Christ Jesus. And so our voice can join his in saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Remember me. Do not put me to shame. Let me not be rejected. Let me not be punished. Let me not be the victim because of the consequences of the choices that I've made. And then he gives this special request. Teach me your ways, your paths. Let me know the way in which you would have me go, and lead me in your truth and your promises. There's an interesting arrangement of the verbs there, because we would think that it would be lead me in your paths and teach me your truth. But instead he says, teach me your path and lead me in your truth, because there's, I think, no way to separate what it means to be trusting in God's promises, remembering his teachings, and then embracing them in the way we live. There's this beautiful kind of integration of those ideas, because if we're trusting God's promises, if we truly take them to heart, if we really believe what we say we believe, then our life doesn't look the same as if we didn't. In other words, God's leading us in his paths and teaching us his ways, and we are being instructed in his truths. What does that look like? What does it mean? Well, the psalmist, David, goes on to say that he doesn't want to be remembered on account of the mistakes that he's made, the transgressions, the sins, the mistakes of his youth, of his past. Like you and me, David had a bunch of problems, and he made a lot of bad decisions and a lot of mistakes. And so he comes to God and he says, Lord, don't look at those things. Instead, remember, and this is interesting, he says, remember your mercy. Remember your steadfast love. Remember the patience that you have. Rather than saying something like, remember that I also did a lot of good things, or remember that I defeated all of your enemies, or remember that I want to build you a temple. David could have said all of that stuff, but instead he says, don't look at my mistakes, look at who you are. Let me be a recipient of that grace. Let me be a recipient of your forgiveness. Let me be someone who receives the gifts that you have given your people. So we have these beautiful verses of David being led in God's ways, and then a reminder of God's faithfulness. He instructs sinners in the right way they should go. The humble, the one that approaches God, not in boldness and in confidence saying, Lord, I know that I can come into your kingdom because of how wonderful I am. No, the humble one who says, I don't deserve to be here, but at your invitation I come. That is the one who receives God's grace, who receives his gifts. This psalm has a lot to it, Psalm 25. I would encourage you to maybe spend some time over the course of this week really embracing it as a daily practice of walking through your life. Maybe you're at a wonderful time where you can give God credit and thanks for the beautiful things that he's been doing, that he has done in your life, that are going on right now. Maybe you're facing great challenges. Maybe you're trying to recover from a procedure or grieve the loss of someone or navigate the challenges of changing relationships or circumstances. We don't have all the answers, and we don't even get the promise that everything will work out. Instead, we're told, and this maybe is even more comforting, that in the valleys and the mountaintops, God is with us, and he's teaching us his ways. He's leading us in his paths. He's communicating his promises to us. We don't have to live in fear that the bad things we have done in our past are going to threaten the relationship we have with God, because the perfect Son of God, the one who fulfilled all of God's promises, the one about whom he was pointing his people toward for thousands of years, even David himself looked forward to Jesus. Because of Jesus, who followed all of God's instructions perfectly, who had no transgressions, sins, mistakes in his youth, who died a death unjustly, undeservedly, and yet that death covered the sin that you and I live with. It covered the distance that existed between God and us. And it creates the opportunity for us to embrace those promises, to share them with each other, to be led in the ways that God leads us. And so, over the course of history, God's people find ways to remind themselves of their promises. And music and song is one of the ways in which God gives that gift to his people. All of the Psalms, for example, were set to music. In the text itself, you can even see, well, what tune of the Hebrew people was this one set to? And for the people that were receiving this word and carrying it with and sharing it with their children and with their children's children, they would sing these songs together. It was how they remembered God's promises. They could hum these promises to themselves as they went about their work, as they navigated the problems. So also, songs today continue to shape our faith. They continue to be an encouragement to us. And we would be a little bit foolish to think that songs that shared God's promises have only been around for 20 or 30 years. The songs that are on the radio are the only ones worth remembering. Now, my challenge to you over the next 5 weeks together is to be open to the idea that the songs that the church has shared in its past over the last few hundred years may be worth remembering as well. Not that you need to become some super traditional worshiper, not that you need to buy a hymnal and carry it around all the time, but instead just be open to hearing God's promises as they're expressed in this poetic fashion. This song is called In God, My Faithful God, and it was written in 1576, 1600, in that era, so many years ago, almost 500, 400 years ago, and yet these words translated into English carry some of the beautiful promises of God. Listen to this. In God, my faithful God, I trust when dark my road. Even if great woes overtake me, He will not forsake me. He will not leave me alone. My troubles, God can alter. He can change my circumstances. His hand lets nothing falter. Nothing is stumbling. Nothing is left up to questioning when God is the one who orders all things, when our trust is in Him. Even though, and this is the second verse, my sins fill me with care. I'm covered in anxiety. I'm worried about the things that I have done. Yet I will not despair. I will not give up in the midst of my questions and my depression. Instead, I will build on Christ who loves me. And this rock, this promise of God, this Son of God, nothing moves me from this rock. To Him, to Jesus, I will surrender, and to Him, He is my soul's defender. Notice how the writer of this hymn places the certainty and the confidence not in the things He has done, but in Christ Himself. It's Jesus who brings about that kind of security. Oh, Jesus Christ, my Lord, so meek in deed and word, You suffered death to save us because Your love would have us be heirs of heavenly gladness. When ends this life of sadness, the recognition that this life is not always happiness, not always joy. No, we face very real trials, very real difficulties and challenges. And this life is oftentimes marked by sadness. But we trust in the God who has promised to bring us into an eternity of gladness, of connection with Him, of reconciled relationship. So be it then, I say, with all my heart each day. Dear Lord, we all adore You. We sing for joy before You. Guide us while we wander here until we praise You yonder. I love that last line. Guide us while we wander here. Just like Psalm 25 said, as I'm making my way through life, teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truths. My life feels like I'm wandering around sometimes. I don't feel like there's clear direction, like there's clear answers. But God's promise is not that we get a map to find happiness. Instead, He says, I'm with you. Remind yourself of my promises. Remind yourself of my mercy. Remind yourself of the connection that you have with me and with the people around you, because my life and my love has changed you. We will have a life of happiness and joy that has no end when we are brought into the kingdom of heaven. But until then, while we wander here in this life that so often is marked by sadness, He has given us the joy and the truth of His presence, the uncompromising, unchanging truth of His word. And Jesus Himself has given us His Spirit that we might delight in God's will, in God's Word, despite anything that happens in this life. Thanks for joining us this week. Hopefully this week is an opportunity for you to shape your daily living in a way that reminds you of God's promises. And we'll see you next time as we explore another look at the promises of God we find in actually Philippians chapter 3 and the hymn that goes along with that in giving us an expression of embracing God's promises. Have a great week.